in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Recording. Okay, hello, welcome to episode 368 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
Doing good. Yeah, I'm on a new device here. I'm on a PC rather than Apple, and I seem to have turned kind of blue.
I wouldn't say blue. Yeah, well, we'll judge it against last week's show. I mean, that's a good reminder, actually, that you might be listening to this through our podcast feed, audio only, which is working again now. As I mentioned last week, I've managed to fix the feed.
Very good.
But yeah, we do record these through Zoom, and we get capture the video as well. So we have a YouTube channel. So if you want to see us talking, and if you haven't seen us, ladies, you are really missing out, and gentlemen.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, well, I'll let that joke. Barbers are reopening soon, so I can get my hair cut properly.
Yeah. My barber is my darling wife, so I'm good.
Not bad at all. Mine has been as well, and I've done two proper cuts. I think I am going to have to cut it myself or again before the queue for the barber dies down. Maybe before the second wave kicks in as well, and they have to close again.
Yeah, got to nip him quick before the second wave and then they'll shut down again.
But yeah, they're on YouTube as well, so you can find it in the weekly email we send out. You can get a link to that as well. We're talking about expectations this week and acceptance. We've had an email from a listener who has had to cancel their wedding this year, as lots and lots of other people have had to do with many different kinds of events. So we thought we'd talk about expectation and acceptance and that kind of thing, and how COVID stole my dreams is my initial title, but I might change that one. We'll come on to that shortly. liveinthepresent.co.uk, all the show notes and links are on there. Do get in touch with us via our now working website. And say hello and ask us if there's anything you would like us to talk about. We'd love to hear from you. Sean, how are you doing? What's your week entailed?
I am generally good. However, I got back up to running my 3-5K for Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And on Friday, I managed to tear my calf muscle, which I did before when I was running before. So maybe it's a ritual. Maybe I have to go through this bit to get to running properly again. But I was 1 kilometer away from home when it was something like that. And then actually came back home again. Was about, and it's sore. It's getting better. But if I stay off it for a bit, I shall be fine.
Very good. You just broke up slightly your audio there, I must say. So I'm not sure if you're getting too close and the volume was a bit high, but just a little word to our audience.
I don't know. Does that mean I need to back away?
I don't know. We'll keep it going and see how we go, but we might need to abort. We'll see. Well, that's sad to hear. I did a bit of exercise this weekend as well. I rode around the whole of the Wirral on our circular trail.
Very impressive.
Well, not really. It's about 40 miles if you do a whole loop. We did it. I did it with a pal I hadn't seen properly in a while. We were allowed to do that now, I think. I don't think I broke any rule.
Is it basically flat?
Basically, yes, it is. There's a few very minor gradients, but you're at sea level the whole way. You know, you're following the coastal path. So, yeah, very gentle. And we set off quite early, so it was quite quiet, except for it was about 11 o'clock when we were getting towards the end, so the walkers were out. It was cool. Nice. Mm-hmm. Very pleasant indeed. If you haven't given it a go, well worth a look. It's traffic free.
Yeah, I'm going to have a go. I'll be on my electric bike, though, so I'll be...
You'll be fine. Powering through. We'll talk... Well, we'll come on to the episode proper in a sec. Lockdown is sort of easing in the UK, and July the 4th is going to be here in a week or two. A week on Monday, is it maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And that's when, freedom will be granted to a lot of businesses and a lot of people. For better or worse, we'll see what's going to be like. But we have had a lot of cancelled events over the last three months, not quite six months yet. And, you know, these have an impact on people's well-being, don't they? And especially this listener that has emailed in. Isn't that right, Sean?
Yeah. Well, I was looking after that email. I was just thinking about the people that I've been working with and how many people have not been able to complete something. You know, people that are losing houses, all kinds of stuff, because they can't complete on mortgages because of COVID and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so many people are living in a world of disappointment. And that idea about, you know, someone's stolen my dream here. I can't do what it is that I want to do. To look at in terms of our resilience and how do we get over stuff like this. You know, we reshape it, rebuild it. You
know? Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that we won't read the whole email out or anything, but you can tell from that it was quite a, you know, it was a well-written email, and it was went to quite a bit of detail about how the person was feeling, and a wedding in particular, you know, is one of those key dates in a person's life, isn't it? That, you know, there's no rule, you don't have to get married, but for a lot of people, it's that one of those big boxes to tick along the way. And you know, I've been married just the once so far, fingers crossed, that's it. But, you know, building up to the big day, A lot of work that goes into it, and a lot of effort organizing things, and you know, there's a lot of enjoyment to be had in that, in the build up as well, isn't there? In picking out all the different bits and bobs and the invitations and the flowers and all that kind of stuff. So to rip that away from someone is a big thing. So I'm not going to dilute the and say, get on with it, that kind of thing. It's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah. And there are so many big deals like that. It's like, you know, it's someone's 60th wedding anniversary and you know, the family have planned this amazing thing, which they couldn't do, you know. And I think that so much of that kind of stuff, special birthdays, special events, special occasions that we've lost because of COVID, we have to get our head out of the idea we've lost them. And get it into that we've kind of postponed them.
And yes.
If someone would have been 90 this year and we can't celebrate it until they're 91, you know, then okay, we need to make that a really special 91st birthday. Mm. You know? Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it was announced in the last night by the Prime Minister that weddings will be allowed to take place again from July the 4th, but limited to 30 people, that kind of thing. So it's going to be the same but different. So I wonder how many people will just cancel it and put it back till next year.
But that in itself is a huge issue, and I've had to deal with this, not just with weddings, but with funerals as well. Because there's a limited attendance, who do you not invite? And even because some people have said, well, I'm going to so people can watch it live. But it's really divisive in families. People are deeply insulted because they couldn't go to the funeral, they couldn't go to the wedding or the christening or whatever it was, because it's a limited amount. But how do you pick those people? And how are they going to respond to it? Because some people are, and I've had to do it, some people are just so desperately insulted by not being included.
Yeah.
No. And it can destroy families and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a special kind of person to be good. We had 120 at our wedding, so, you know, obviously we're desperately popular. And getting it down to that number was tricky enough. In some ways, I wonder if getting it down to 30 or immediate family only might make it easier. I mean, it'd take a special kind of idiot to get really upset about not making the cut for that 30 people in a time of incredible stress and strain on humanity.
I've saw one or dealt with one funeral where the only people that attended, the person's other half and the children, and that was it, right? Everything else was online.
Yeah.
And they did that because they all wanted to be there. They couldn't decide, because they could have up to 15 at the funeral. And so there was five of them. So it would have been 10 more people. And they, because it was so, such a problem, it's not who would you have there, it's who would you not have there. The problem that in the end they decided they just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So as it was streamed online as well, which kind of helped them out. But I guess that things like weddings or christenings or first communions or whatever it is, you can move those and you can do them at a later date, which may be difficult or whatever. But you can't do that with the funeral. You can't put someone in the freezer and say, okay, we'll do that next year. And that forces people into horrible decisions for them that really do upset them and upset other people.
Oh, it's hugely difficult. I mean, it's not over yet by a long stretch, is it? And I don't want to talk about too much about the ins and outs of where we're going to be a year from now. But the Chris Whitty, one of the chief medical guys last night, was basically saying he'd be amazed and delighted if we weren't in a very similar position to what we're in now, you know, going into the winter and the spring. So how much of this is about building resilience, and how are we just going to have to learn things the hard way through this, or can people prepare themselves for lots more disappointment in the coming?
I don't know. I look at Aunt TV, who will be 93 soon, and she's been through depressions and wars and all kinds of stuff, and the kind of resilience does change the way that they are. Because I mean, she's been in lockdown since February. She hasn't been out of the house. Taking her food and the family's looking after her and stuff like that. But everything, she only talks to people from a distance, and she's so amazingly positive. I wonder whether that is, you have to go through difficult issues to learn to develop the resilience to be able to be okay. And maybe one of the things, one of the positives that comes out of this is that we do end up being more resilient as a group of people. So that when we do have to face adversity in the future, we won't be so, oh my God, about it, because we're better at dealing with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm hopeful on that, but I'm also a bit sceptical as to whether it will happen. I mean, Auntie V, she's 93, so she was born. Yeah, well, let's say she's 100, just for to make it a bit easier. So she was born.
Your maths is a bit dodgy. Yeah.
Around the time of the last massive, huge pandemic, you know, the influenza in 1918. She will have been born when the effects of that were still rippling through, to be honest. Yeah. So in that time, she's also lived through the Great Depression. She's lived through the rise of Adolf Hitler and Nazism and World War II. She's lived through the Cold War, the nuclear crisis. She's lived through the Vietnamese War and all that instability. She's had the stuff in the 70s in the UK, 80s in the Maggie Thatcher. She's lived through the Iraq War, the War on Terror. What I'm trying to say is, even in the last 100 years, humanity has dealt with some like a huge amount of crises.
Yeah.
We're still not that resilient, and we still get surprised when things like this happen.
But this will pass, and it will be something that people maybe talk about for a while. Yeah. But in my lifetime, there's been things like when the house prices crashed and everyone's houses dropped in value massively, people had negative equity. And people are in crisis, oh my God, and their pensions were disappearing. And like, no one talks about that anymore. That was the 80s, 1980s into the 90s. And it's like, no one talks about that anymore. It's like, oh, it's gone. No. And that will happen with this as well. We will get to that point. We may have, I don't know, like a COVID Remembrance Day in the year, so that we can say, frontline workers and NHS and stuff like that, so we don't forget that. That's kind of positive. But I mean, overall, the effects of COVID in a few years' time will be the past. Yeah.
Yeah.
As tough as it is now.
So we just got to weather the storm, really, and do our best to get through it, calm and carry on.
Yeah. And that comes back to old staples, like if we all look after each other, we'll all be all right. And it's that thing about who around you needs help now, who around you needs looking after. And that might mean a tin of beans, a meal, might be a visit, it might be, you know, whatever, as people are trying to get their lives back on track again. Because lots of people won't come out. We had a scary experience of going to get a takeaway from Liverpool at the weekend. We booked it in and then had to drive over to Bold Street. And it was like a madhouse. You know, we were supposed to still be in lockdown. There were at least 100 people on the steps of the cathedral all drinking. Down Bold Street, it was like an apocalypse movie with loads of drunk people hanging on to each other and just rubbish everywhere. And it was like, it was horrendous. And I'm looking at this lot thinking, if there's a second wave developing, it's developing here right now. These people, because social distancing is just important. And I see two kinds of people. There's rush out and do that. And the people that say, I'm not going anywhere. So, I've even had people say to me over the last week, I will never go on an aeroplane again.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, this is a bit of a doom and gloom episode, this, so yeah, I'm loving it. But there's a second wave of the virus potential, but there's also there's that impact of people not wanting to do certain things anymore, you know, like get on an aeroplane or, yeah, go to a restaurant or a pub or a place where there's lots of other people hanging around, you know, and that might be that way for quite a long time. And that has huge knock-on effects to our economy and all that stuff, doesn't it, as well?
But think about the positives. And I come back to you a lot in my thought processes, you and bicycles and not being in cars. And I have interacted more with people in the lane here in the last 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like that, and even that's socially distanced. But we've, you know, I've talked more, chatted more, acknowledged people down to the post office or whatever. And it is a case of maybe there are a lot of positives that come out of this. No. One of the things that I'm very, I mean, I'm aware that around us at the moment, there have been two big outbreaks. And both of them have been in meat factories. And I'm thinking to myself, is there a relationship in China? Is there something about that? Is that just a coincidence? I don't know. But lots of people that I've been talking to are changing their lifestyle. They're changing what they're eating. They're changing their exercise regime. They're starting to cook again. They stop doing ding meals and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, there could be colossal positives in this and the way people change the way they are.
You know? I hope so, yeah. I mean, I have Goose Father's Day at the weekend, so I was bought a gift of a Grow Your Own book, like teaching you how to set up a little veg patch and start growing your own food. We've been experimenting with just little things, you know, strawberries and tomatoes, and got a big bag of potatoes on the go as well, just to the left of me outside. So trying to create a bit of space to do something a bit more serious. You know, whether we could do anything at the scale that would actually feed us significantly, I'm not sure, as a family. But yeah, interesting. I think that there will be a big push for life to return to normal. But like I say, we're up against this virus has got us really boxed in terms of how much we can do in the next year or so, and how many people we can fit in restaurants and bars. And my sister-in-law she works on the events team for a major events location in London or in the south. You know, it's over for jobs like that, really, because there's just not the capacity. You can't get enough people in to kind of pay the bills and keep the lights on. Yeah. So very worrying, really.
There was a survey a couple of months ago where 91% of the people surveyed said that they didn't want the world to return to normal after this. And on that basis, unless that's changed, that there are huge changes afoot. You know, things are happening, people's attitudes are changing.
Yeah, I guess coming on from that is then how do we build in the resilience and the the ability to accept change. Acceptance is a word I've seen in a lot of the blog posts I was reading to research this one. How do we build in that acceptance to change, which is, you know, it's good that that many people want change, because the change is coming whether we want it or not. You know, there's the laws of physics mm-hmm. that we're hitting up against. So how do we make sure that people are, when these changes hit hard in the next year or two, are ready for them?
I think that we'd be thinking about this. You know, we all keep talking, we all keep sharing. And I think that the biggest change that will happen, this is me being predictive here, is the difference between people relying on out there to make a decision in here rather than doing it from the inside out. And it's like we've had that direct experience of watching politicians tell us one thing and then go sell. And that reliance that we've had on external authority, I think, questioned, not least of all with all the Black Lives Matter issues that are going on. Yeah. And it's like that I detect, and I suspect it will grow, is that people won't rely so much on what's going on inside out. And I think that's how people will develop their resilience, and they will start to recreate community and family, which I think we've lost. We've lost to external sources, whether it is media or whatever, social media particularly. And I suspect that people will start to could be mad, but let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's wait and see. I mean, you put in your blog post for this week about Captain Tom, and how he very early on realised that he needed to do something personally, just kind of, whether it was to cure his boredom or just to kind of something to keep fit, or just something, you know, obviously the wider goal he had of raising some money for charities. But yeah, you can be that Captain Tom, can't you?
Yeah. And have you seen that lovely little lad who's got the prosthetic legs, who's walking 10K?
Oh, no, actually, I don't think so.
Little tiny kid on crutches. Huh. And he's doing the same thing. He's raising money. And quite a few people have done that. And it's interesting because some people said to me, well, in a decent society, these people wouldn't have to raise money. You get that kind of negative pick on it. And I think it's lovely, whatever society, that someone should be conscious enough to think, no, I will do something. And then other people connect with that and go, and I will support that. That's a really lovely thing. That's people coming together. I like that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, there's a bit of there's an article in the local paper, World Globe, about there's a bit of a war of words developed between a couple of councillors, one of whom I know very well, and she's brilliant. But some residents were concerned about the amount of weeds growing through pavement, you know, from the pavements, and that it wasn't being treated by the council, and that the residents actually volunteered to say, can we take care of this on, you know, because we're bored and we want to take care of our street. And so the councillor said, yeah, we'll look into it. We'll make sure that it's all kosher, so that it's all, you know, insurance and all that kind of stuff. And because there's also the other issue that up until now, the council have used quite a nasty chemical that is actually pretty, well, I think there's quite a lot of evidence to show that it can cause cancer in humans.
Okay.
So they're trying to phase that out. But then on the other hand, they've got a lot of complaints coming in about weeds growing, you know, and how horrible it looks anyway. But this group of residents has basically volunteered to do it for the council, you know, at no cost, just because there's a lot of people sat at home at the moment doing nothing, and they want to just get a trowel out and just start scraping things away. Yeah.
But that idea that it's them, whoever they are, sort it out, you know, they'll do it, won't they? Oh, they haven't done it and they should, kind of stuff. And it's like, why don't we just get off our butts and go and do it? I mean, you can see a weed and pull the bloody thing out. You know, you'd have to go and ring 999 to get someone else to come and do it for you. And that's what I mean about, if we can take some responsibility for our lives and for the world that we live in, it'll change.
Yeah. I'll put the article in. It's quite interesting, war, like a battle between. Yeah, and it was one of the councillors that was complaining about it, was saying, you know, in a decent civilized society, this should all be taken care of by the local authority. And, you know, maybe it should, yeah, but at the same time, if people want to take that step and take responsibility themselves for their little corner of the world, you know, what's wrong with that?
Well, one of the things that I don't know if I can explain this in easy way, but it's like the government talk about we have spent money. Like, the government haven't spent anything. What they've done is they've reallocated our money, so we have done it. You know, the government haven't paid for a furlough scheme. We have paid for a furlough scheme. And where did we get to the point where we made the separation between the government and us, or between council and us? Why isn't it all of us together? Why is it us and them? I don't get that at all.
No.
That makes sense, no?
It does. Yeah, big time. Yeah, we do. It's kind of... we're getting a bit political now, a bit ranty, but, you know, there are some... people forget that, you know, everything being done to us is being done by us, isn't it?
Yeah. And in that sense, we get the police we deserve. We get because we vote them into power and then we let them do it, as opposed to it being us. You know, but there comes a point with media as it is now, if there's a decision to be made, we all come to our screens and then it's okay, now everybody vote now. And we all press the vote button and vote something in or out, you know, rather than having
Yeah, interesting. All right, we'll wrap it up now. What's your resource? You've got a few of them actually, Sean.
Yeah, what I've done is I just stacked up quite a few links that I'm giving to people generally at the moment. And it's people that are struggling, struggling being motivated, all that kind of stuff. The two things I haven't included in that list there are the alcohol and the food changes that people are dealing with, you know. But if people are going to get back into the workplace, they're going to get themselves back up again. They need to go through these kinds of things, get their head on the right way around.
Yeah.
You know. And I was talking to some engineers before we came online, and their issue was that they'd been furloughed for another 7 weeks. So it's going to be August before they're back in, as it stands at the moment. And they're thinking, oh no, not another 7 weeks. How are we going to do this? Yeah, and this whole issue about us getting the best that we can out of this time that we've got and not moaning about it is important. But also not allowing the dreams to be lost, allowing ourselves to go along with what's happening in the world, and to be, it's the law of allowing and being able to accept something rather than letting it drown us.
Definitely. Cool. You mentioned, you kept saying Inside Out a couple of times before, so I'm going to mention the Pixar movie Inside Out, which if you haven't, we watched it again at the weekend. So really, it's one of those, well, like all Pixar movies, on the surface, it's like a movie for kids, but when you scratch below that surface, it's like a massively complex, dealing with some huge emotional issues that we all face. So absolutely beautiful. Give that one a look as well. I'll catch you next week, Sean. Hopefully you'll be back on an Apple device because, your audio's been a bit sketchy in this one.
Okay. All right. Good experiment.
Yeah. I think it's all right. We'll see. Let us know in the comments, guys, or send us an email.
Okay.
All
right. Be happy and collateral.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a good few days of weather with some thunderstorms coming again at the weekend.
All right.
But yeah, you enjoy, Sean.
Yeah. Okay. You take care.
Take care, everyone. See you soon.
Yeah. See ya. Bye.
Bye.